Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I'm excited to have on the line a good friend and also candidate for the state Supreme Court, none other than Judge Janet Protasiewicz. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing? It's so good to hear your voice.
You know, it's been a while, right?
It has been a while.
It's actually been too long. I remember many years ago when you were first running. What was the office you were running for then?
I was running for the circuit court then and we did an interview right in your studio.
Yeah, we did that several times, and I have to say I have really been surprised by the kind of work that you have done and the fact that you are on the precipice of becoming a state Supreme Court justice. We're 4 weeks out, and there is an attack that is going on as, Republicans are wanting to do with trying to scare people about your record. What do you want to say to the listening audience right away about what is really being the commercials that are being played about you and who you really are?
Well, I'll tell you, I've dedicated my entire life to our community. I was a prosecutor in Milwaukee County for 25 years and worked really, really hard to protect our community, you know, ensure that victims' rights and victims were well tended to, while at the same time, you know, ensuring that people's constitutional rights, of course, were met. And then when I became a judge, I handled really, really hard cases. I did domestic violence cases for over a year. I did several years in a really high-intense drug trafficking court. And I finished 3 years handling primarily all, you know, homicide and sexual assault cases, day in and day out. So, you know, I have worked very, very hard to keep this community safe. And I would say that when you have sentenced not hundreds, but thousands of people, you know, that certainly leaves your record open for the other side to, you know, cherry pick certain cases and come back and say, hey, maybe you should have done this differently, right? But my entire life has been rooted in our community and attempting to keep our community safe.
So let's talk about the importance of the seat on the Supreme Court and why the other side is pushing so hard, you know, to keep you off the court.
Well, the seat is critical, and it's critical for a number of reasons. I mean, in just, you know, kind of esoteric terms, I should say, bringing back common sense and change to our court in an independent court is critically important. You know, that's like a huge overview. But then you look at the types of cases that are going to come in front of the Supreme Court, and that is why it is such a hard-fought race, and that's why I'm dealing with the attacks that I'm dealing with. I think everything from gerrymandering and the maps, you know, I think everybody knows Wisconsin's one of the most, if not the most, gerrymandered state in the country. You know, the maps issue, I think, is likely to come before the court. I think the issue in regard to the 1849 abortion ban is likely to come before the court. And I have been very, very careful along the way to indicate to people what my values are on these particular issues. You know, number one, everybody's vote should count. We're in a democracy. Number two, my other value, women should have a right to, you know, make their own reproductive health care decisions. But, you know, I haven't made any promises as to what I will do when I get on the court, because you have to follow the law and you have to uphold the Constitution. And I know that I'm being attacked as a partisan extremist who is going to do just that. And I can tell people, every single decision that I make will be rooted in the law, and I will follow the Constitution. But I think that people deserve to know what a candidate's values are. And so there are all these issues that are going to be coming before the Supreme Court. And, you know, the, you know, main concern that people have is, hey, we want some normal back on that court. We want to get away from all of that uber extremism. We want to feel like we have a fair shake when we come into the Supreme Court chamber.
Well, you know, I can tell you, as a person who has paid attention to what has happened to the state Supreme Court over the last 10 to 15 years of control by Republicans, which, you know, I've always been led to believe that it's a nonpartisan court. Well, how true is that?
Well, it should be a nonpartisan court. And, you know, I think some of the issues are obviously nonpartisan, like community safety spans from the far left to the far right. But I think the problem with the court as it is it is controlled by extreme partisans. And that's the reason I got into the race. I mean, the partisanship that we are seeing on that Wisconsin Supreme Court and that we've seen for the last 15 years is really hard to describe to people. You feel like the independence is gone, following the law is gone. You feel as though predetermined outcomes are the norm. And that is why I think it is so important that we take this opportunity. And I tell people it's a golden opportunity to shift our court to a 4-3 majority of people who are going to follow the law, follow the Constitution, and, you know, be independent. And decisions are not going to be predetermined.
So let me ask you your thoughts on why this race is considered the most important race in the entire nation. We're just into early April, and this is considered the most important race in the nation. What are your thoughts on that and why?
Well, it's really interesting because, you know, for months, you know, nationwide media outlets have been talking to us about the race, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and actually even the Guardian from London. And I think it is that people consider Wisconsin a microcosm of the country as a whole. And I think people are extraordinarily interested to see what's going to happen here. You know, is an independence and good going to prevail, or is that extremism going to prevail? And I think people are so interested, too, in these issues. Like, does everybody's vote count? Or do we really, really let our state get away with these incredibly gerrymandered maps? Do women have a right to make their own decisions? Do we get to visit that 1849 law? Because I've told people, I can guarantee with 100% certainty, if Dan Kelly is elected to our Wisconsin Supreme Court, that 1849 abortion ban is going to stay in place. I can also tell you that I think it would be extraordinarily unlikely that those maps would be revisited. So I think that, you know, everything's on the line with this race, and people consider Wisconsin this microcosm, so they're watching it very, very carefully.
You know, I've been listening to some of the unfortunate information that has been, you know, levied at you, and to hear people say, well, if Judge Protasiewicz winds up as one of the next Supreme Court justices, she's going to from a liberal bent. She's going to, you know, lead from a liberal bent. What are they talking about?
I'm not sure what they're talking about.
I've seen them rule from a conservative bent, but somehow the term liberal and trying to tie that to you is supposed to be, you know, a kiss of death in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you consider liberal independent and open-minded and following the law, it should be a good thing, right?
Yes.
It should be a good thing.
Well, it's similar to the way they've, you know, what they've done with the term woke. And so to define you as being liberal is certainly in some instances a kiss of death to certain people, but to many of us, we are happy to hear that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Earl. I mean, I believe so strongly in this state, and I love this state, and I have been traveling all over. And I'll tell you, this, you know, people have been so welcoming everywhere I go. And people are so concerned about these issues everywhere I go. It's just, you know, I would say that it is really almost unbelievable. You know, I'm in a little library in Barneville, and it's packed full of people. I'm in an art gallery in Mineral Point, and it's packed full of people. You know, I'm at an event in Hudson, Wisconsin, and it's packed, and Superior, and it's packed. And people all really have the same message for me, which is, we want our court back. We want our state back. So it's, you know, people care very, very deeply about this beautiful state that we live in.
You know what, Judge Protasiewicz, It clearly is a critical juncture, a critical time. If you look at the makeup of the court as it stands right now, there aren't, you know, a lot of old folk like me on it. There are a lot of young people who are on the court, and the chances of, you know, an opening coming up, barring some unforeseen circumstances, are a long way in the future. Is it safe to say that?
I think it is safe to say that. It is very safe to say that. I think that if we prevail on April 4th and win this seat and are able to bring back, you know, that independence and that lack of extreme partisanship back to the court, I mean, it would be wonderful for everybody in this state.
Yeah, and look, we've got a couple more minutes. What do you want to say in the last few minutes before we have to let you go?
Well, what I want to say is that April turnout elections on off years are relatively low turnout elections, and every single vote counts. Every vote counts. And when I talk to people about every vote counting, I say that's the great equalizer. No matter who you are, your vote counts the same. You have the exact same opportunity to influence the way the state is going as anybody else does. And so please exercise your right to vote, and please get your friends and family out there as well. You know, we had a surprisingly large turnout in the primary, and we really need to do that again in April in order to prevail. We're not taking anything for granted. We're working hard all day, every single day. Somebody said to me, is it like a sprint? And I said, it's like a sprint in a race, but we're not stopping until we're through that finish line. So we're not leaving any stone unturned. We're working as hard as we can. My website is janetforjustice.com, if people care to take a look at that, janetforjustice.com. And, you know, I am just so honored, Earl, to be on your show today.
Okay, we got to have you back before the race is over.
I would love that.
All right, we'll make sure that happens. That's State Supreme Court Justice, I guess, nominee. Janet Protasiewicz, it's so good to hear your voice, and we'll certainly talk soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Earl, and have a great day.
Bye-bye. We've got to go to a break. Bye-bye. We'll come to the phone lines after. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'd like to thank my guest, Judge Janet Protasiewicz, who is a candidate for the State Supreme Court. I can tell you we're going to have her back on at least a couple more times before the election. So if you, you know, didn't get a chance, we'll see what we can do about maybe having her take some questions, you know, the next time around. Want to say you can follow me on Facebook at The Earl Ingram Show and on Twitter at Earl_Ingram. And good morning to WAUK Waukesha, the Shaw, WISS Oshkosh Air Support, WGBW Green Bay, the Talk of Green Bay in my hometown, the city of Milwaukee. You know, let's go to the phone lines and let's go to Stephen from Green Bay. Hey, good morning, Stephen. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. It's always great to hear from you in the morning.
Yeah, thank you.
I was shocked to hear Janet Protasiewicz on your show. I wasn't expecting that. But it actually kind of goes hand in hand with what I was going to talk to you about anyways. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's to understate that this is a very critical Supreme Court race, and probably one of the most important that I may see in my lifetime. But the differences between the two, I don't know if I've ever seen such stark differences between two candidates.
No kidding. But go ahead.
But this is really the message I want to get out, is we have a Supreme Court justice in Janet Protasiewicz that, like she said, is looking to bring back order and common sense to the bench on the Supreme Court. And then we have her opponent, Dan Kelly, who is being supported by far-right groups, who said that he would uphold a law that was created before women even had the right to vote in the state of Wisconsin. And he also was an advisor to the people in the state of Wisconsin who brought the fake elector scheme. And what's funny about that is, you know, you watch the news now and more is coming out about that. And the people that were behind in spewing that on the airwaves, both on TV and radio, are now coming out and saying that Donald Trump and his people were absolutely crazy.
Yes.
So they didn't believe the garbage himself.
You know, Stephen, we're gonna talk some more about what is coming out now, and you are absolutely right. When you, they're working right now to slander Judge Protasiewicz, and she's not tough on crime, and she's soft on crime, and it's their playbook. It's the only playbook that they have, and all they can do in these races that, you know, they really have no chance of winning is to try to scare people into thinking that, you know, that people are coming to your neighborhoods and they're coming to hurt you because Democrats are soft on crime. It's all they have. And it's worked in many instances because people trust and don't know any better. And so they believe that crime is coming to your neighborhood and that judges like Janet Protasiewicz has been soft on crime. But if you look at her record, and you realize how many cases, like all others, have had to deal with the amount of crime that does occur in the areas where they are, you will see that it's not like she's letting people go free. You know, we're at a point where if that's the only thing that you have to run against your opponent, and that's all Republicans ever have, you know, even that's going to get tiresome sometime. And right now, the way it looks, you know, as of right now, they're trailing. And that's a good thing. But it doesn't mean the race is over. We've seen that with Mandela Barnes. We saw the lies, the constant framing of him being soft on crime. And that was reason enough for Ron Johnson to win. We can't allow the same thing to happen with Judge Protasiewicz.
Hey, Earl.
Yes, sir.
I never know if you can hear me or not, so I just
figured to
respond. Then
no, go ahead.
Okay. You know, you said that all the Republicans have is, you know, dispute that, you know, the other side is soft on crime, or that crime is coming to, you know, your neighborhood. I live in the city of Green Bay. Crime is already here. You know, it's not coming to my neighborhood. It's already here.
You know, Steve, as it is everywhere. And you know why? I know that because I don't care where it is. There are law enforcement officers everywhere, right? I don't care if you live in Timbuktu or Shawano or Reidsville or any place. There's law enforcement because crime is everywhere. And so this leading people to believe that it's coming from Milwaukee, reaching to their neighborhoods is the fallacy that the Republicans hide behind, and it's not true.
Amen to that. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thank you as always, Stephen. Really appreciate it. Tom, I see you. We'll get you on the other side. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. What say you? You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Rock the boat. Rock the boat. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tom from L.A., hey, good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man? Thank you for the call.
First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And that's what the voting is so important. Janet Protasiewicz is absolutely a breath of fresh air because of the fact that she believes in freedom, and she believes that, you know, women should have a right to choose, not the government, whether that is to actually carry a child to term or not. Because people always seem to forget about the fact that women also have a choice to actually have a child. So, you know, that's number one. Number two, I am so refreshed by the fact that she has talked about Citizens United and getting money out of politics. If that is the number one issue in my mind, as you know, is to get money out. And she said it's a necessary evil right now, but she said that we have to get money out of politics. And for that, I say bravo. And if Wisconsin, which Wisconsin really is a weather vane, that's one of the reasons why I am so involved. One, being from Durand, Wisconsin, that's number one, and I care about the state. But two is because people in Wisconsin are good people. And they're taken advantage of, and they're very easy to divide and conquer, the way Scott Walker talked to Widow Hendricks about what they were going to do. And if it goes that way, and if they can do it in Wisconsin, they think they can do it anywhere. So I do want to say that my family is all voting for Judge Protasiewicz, and also I have Republican friends and sensible Republican friends and family members that will also be voting for Judge Janet. So I'm very, very happy about that. And I really hope for the best for the people of Wisconsin that they can actually, bring justice back to the state and get rid of the Scott Walker stain that has been on the state, Tom, for so long.
It does start with the Supreme Court. And there's no doubt whatsoever that Republicans are terrified, and the big money donors are terrified that their reign of terror will soon end if Judge Janet Protasiewicz and the Democrats wind up with a 4-3 majority on the Supreme Court. Because I hear constantly Republicans and conservatives saying, well, if she gets elected, she'll undo all the reforms that under Scott Walker. Well, yeah, that's what we want. You know, we want those things undone because they weren't fair. They were unjust. And so we've had to suffer under the weight of that ever since Scott Walker was in power. And these maps that are the most gerrymandered anywhere in the nation need to be brought back into line, man, where people feel like, you know, there's a fair opportunity. As long as things are the way they are, you know, I always go back to the time, Tom, when I used to hear people constantly talk about Wisconsin being one of the fairest governments in the entire nation. And you know, that used to be something that we constantly touted about our state. But it hasn't been that way in a long, 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 long time. So, you know, yes, this election can change all of those things, and we've got to get people out to vote. And the other side of this, Tom, is whatever money is going to be needed in this race is going to be spent, We don't want money in politics, and we shouldn't want it. But if one side is going to do it, then the other side has to do it, and we've got to get this thing worked out.
Yep, it's a necessary evil. But if you want to get it out, then this is the way you want to go with Judge Janet.
All right.
Thank you, Earl.
Thank you very much for the call, man. Let me here's a story, man, that is, you know, it's heart-rending. And it's a prime example of so many people who have mental illness who are imprisoned in our country. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'd love to hear your opinion on it. This is an exceptional case of a man whose execution has been delayed. He's a Texas inmate. Man, he gouged out both of his eyes. That's how severe his mental illness is. He gouged out his eyes. He's blind. He cut his eyes out. Now, he's scheduled to be executed April 5th. He's been a death row inmate, and he was sentenced to death for fatally stabbing his wife and two children in 2004. His attorney says Thomas gouged out both of his eyes as a result of his severe mental illness. Dozens of Texas mental health professionals and faith leaders have filed letters of support for the petition, saying that this man should not be executed. But in Texas, you know, Texas is a little different. Texas is like Florida. And so they want to make it clear. You know, it's the Wild Wild West. And so they don't care about the depth of this man's mental illness. They want this man executed. Andre Thomas is 39. Again, he's scheduled for execution on April 5th. And so there's this battle going on. What are your thoughts? A man who has been deemed and diagnosed as severely mentally ill, who, yes, murdered his wife and his children 19 years ago, has been on death row all of this time, has since gouged out both of his eyes, and he's facing, well, he was facing on April 5th, but it's been, you know, it's been held up, the execution date, for a short period of time. But what are your thoughts? If we really knew how many people who are mentally ill, who are in the prisons and in the jails and on death row, would it matter? Would it matter to you? When we talk about, you know, crime and we talk about people who murder, and if it's found out that the people who murder have mental illness, should it be brought into question? I mean, should that person, should the courts take into account whether or not a person is mentally ill? Now, you know, again, based on what I know about people who are mentally ill, I know a little bit. I've got a son who's mentally ill. People who don't have control over what they say, do, or think. And so if there are people who have those kinds of maladies, and I'm not making excuses, but in this man's case, what's to be gained by putting him to death? 844-967-2789 is the number. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. And I know it's something that we certainly need to take some time out to think about. Now, dozens of Texas mental health professionals and faith leaders, again, filed this petition. They don't want to see this man executed. But he's just one of many who are in death row in this country. Thomas's attorney, Marie Levin, said in a statement provided to Newsweek, the Supreme Court has ruled that a person must be competent to be executed. Well, if that's the case, And they've done that. Why is he still on? And the Supreme Court has said that. Why is he still on death row? Thomas is one of the most mentally ill prisoners in Texas history, Levine said. He has endured a profound and lifelong mental illness that fundamentally distorts his perception of reality and causes incessant auditory and visual hallucinations, he added. Let's go to the phone lines and David from Mequon. Hey, David, what's going on? You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. I think in this particular case, I would agree with you. However, you know, when I say I agree with you, obviously this person is mentally ill. When you gouge your own eyes out and everything else, and if it really is that scenario,
it is that scenario.
You know, I agree. It did that. His life should not be taken. It's a terrible tragedy that he killed his wife and kids. But when you have mental illness, and there's a lot of people, like you said, that do have mental illness, you know, you got it. I think we got to try to treat that a little differently. That being said, though, there are mentally deranged people that are evil. And what I mean by that, Earl, is this is the other flip side. You have Jeffrey Dahmer. What he did was he was calculated. He was mentally warped, but he knew exactly what he was doing, and he enjoyed it. And so you do have that type of mental illness when you have serial killers. You'll be at Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, you know the other people that commit, huge amount of crimes or whatever. I think we have to look at it by an individual basis because there are some mentally ill people that really do are calculating as to what they really do want to harm others. They really do. So in this case, I agree with you, but in other cases, I would say I think there's a reason why you got to have death row for some of these people.
All right, man. Thank you very much for the call. Again, I was talking about especially this particular case and this gentleman and the fact that knowing all the factors involved in the case, the fact that in Texas they continue to push to have him executed, Texas is a special kind of place. You know, Texas, Florida, we live in the state, Wisconsin, where there is no corporal punishment. And there are people who push for it for a long time. You know, are there times that you know, death row is absolutely necessary? Yes. I don't think Jeffrey Dahmer was ever diagnosed as having severe mental illness. As a matter of fact, I didn't read that anywhere. Ted Bundy didn't read that anywhere, whether how severely mentally ill they were. But this guy has been documented over and over and over and over. Listen, we've got to go to a break. Phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Like you do, unless you give.
right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You can also follow me on Facebook at the Earl Ingram Show and on Twitter at Earl_Ingram. You know, I want to talk a little bit about Fox News. Oh, what a wicked web we weave when we practice to deceive. I remember hearing that as a kid. Oh, what a wicked web we weave when we practice to deceive. Well, many of us have known for a long time that Fox News has been deceiving, probably since its inception. It came into existence filled with lies. And now it's splattered all over the nation. Fox News lied, continues to lie. And yet, 3.5 million people or so a day listen to the lies because, you know, either they don't comprehend the 3.5 million people who support Fox News, they want to be lied to, or they just can't comprehend that they're being lied to. It's one or the other. It can't be both. It's either or. So either the people who watch Fox News, you know, get a kick out of being lied to, or they just don't know any better. And so, we're at a point right now where it's splattered all over the news outlets. I've heard constantly people bragging about Fox News, number one news outlet. More people are listening to Fox News than anybody else. Fox News makes more money. Yeah, they really have, because they've got people who listen, who that's what they want to hear. They don't want reality. They want fiction. And so Fox News is full of fiction. You know, and I'm not saying that there aren't some other outlets that may be, but none of them have been focused on as much as Fox News is right now, even by the owners of Fox News, who are admitting that we know the people we have been lying. Look, it was bad enough when they were talking about and just talked about the exposure of the 2020 election fraud, right? That itself was embarrassment enough. But now, after the lie of Tucker Carlson on the other day, showing footage of the people on January 6th, peacefully walking through the Capitol, not showing anything being moved around and saying, well, these were just people visiting. Even more lies. And people could see it. And even conservatives like Mitch McConnell, who came out and said, this is ridiculous. What are you guys doing? Do you realize what we are looking like? Mitch McConnell, of all people, and other conservative Republicans are saying, enough of this. This is not true. Why are we doing this? What purpose are we trying to serve? When people know we're lying. I don't know. But Tucker Carlson clearly either has no concept of what it is, or he is like Donald Trump and he feels like he has total control over people who clearly must be mindless. Because anybody who watched that footage that they showed on Monday from Tucker Carlson, the footage, part of the footage that was given to him by Kevin McCarthy, and you see it's almost like a Sunday morning group of people, you know, coming to church. That's kind of what they showed. and for people to somehow believe that. Sean Hannity. You constantly hear people talking about the great Sean Hannity, the king of hucksters. Another man, Laura Ingraham. Liars. They lie on their own mothers to make a buck. And then yet many of you who listen to that. I mean, what are you to gain by that, right? Let's go quickly to my friend Gene from Eau Claire. Hey, Gene, how you doing? What do you say?
I say that Tucker Carlson just laid a big punch in the face to all Americans. All Americans, even if you watch the show, who saw what happened. Here, you guys, this one's for you. Slam. You know, we don't need to tell the truth. You bunch of dummies. We control the TV waves. We control what's put out there. So in your face, we're going to show this, and you can't do anything about it. And that's the way I took it, Earl. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, Gene, showing it is one thing. The fact that there are people who accept it is what I'm talking about. Why would you follow something that you know is a flat-out lie, right? And yet, even the owner of Fox News has said these people are lying. So,
Earl?
Yes.
There are skillful liars out there. There are skillful masters of manipulation. When you get people in their gut and feeling upset about something, and then across the screen you have all these lies going, they hit you visually, they hit you emotionally, and they hit you through your auditory senses.
So people can't resist the lies, is what you're telling me?
Yep. If they're on to that all the time, you can't break through until they're ready to break through, or you break down those people that are brainwashing the public, and that's what it is brainwashing. Watch them sometime, because every sensory thing that goes to your brain is being utilized as they spread their lies. It's unbelievable that's happened in America.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Got to go to break, 844-967-2789. I'll be joined by none other than the Dawn of Resistance, Maggie Dawn. We'll be right back.